They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. And our testimony testifies of the blood of the Lamb. That's why it's not just our story that overcomes Satan. It's the power of our testimony, which testifies of the blood of the Lamb. And that's why it's important to share our testimony. Anybody else would like to share their testimonies in times to come, please let me know. Let's catch up and let's continue on from there. Now, today I've got a word for you, and I've called it Don't Worry, Be Joyful. I was tempted to call it Don't Worry, Be Happy. But that'll be a false message, you see, because joyful and happiness are two different things. Happiness comes from the word happenings. It's environmental in nature. It comes from, you know, you could hear some great news and you'll be happy, and 2 seconds later you hear some bad news and you'll be unhappy. It's environmental in nature. Joy is a lot deeper. Joy is knowing in your heart that regardless what you're going through, joy is knowing that, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's knowing that when we do go through the hard times, and we have to go through them, that he's always with us, that we have his assurance, we have his promises, we have the salvation. So I couldn't call it Don't Worry, Be Happy. I called it Don't Worry, Be Joyful. Because we're told to rejoice in the Lord. There you go. And you remember that song? Come on, John. I mean, you were dying to say that. Look, he's... So rejoice in the Lord always means that regardless what you find yourself in, regardless how difficult life is, regardless of the challenges and the pain, because see, the pain is real. God never tells us, oh, don't suffer pain, suck it up, stiff up a lip. He doesn't say that. But is that we are told to be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Now, had that verse just said that, I would have grabbed the Bible, torn it up and thrown it out, because I'm thinking, yeah, that's good for you to say. How is a question, how? It's almost like saying, fly. You think, well, yeah, that's good, how? How do I fly? Tell me, teach me. I don't know how to fly. It's not natural for us to fly. It's not natural for us not to worry about anything. It's not natural. Things happen. Your kids don't come home at the time they were supposed to come home late at night. You're up at 3 a.m. You're calling everyone. You're worrying. And so you should. And we're worried not to be anxious, not to worry about anything. But it doesn't say full stop. There's a comma there. It says be anxious for nothing. Everything. That covers everything. Everything. Regardless of situation, circumstances, pain, difficulties, people, in everything, by prayer and supplication, but listen to this, with thanksgiving. And then it doesn't say, let your request be made known to God, and then everything will be all right. It says, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, I didn't include that on there, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it doesn't say everything will be okay. It says, even in the midst of turmoil, you can have peace and joy, even though there will be tears and difficulties and struggles. So it doesn't say that by not being anxious and praying, everything's going to be all right, but everything's going to feel at peace. We're going to encounter the peace that surpasses all understanding. In other words, people will think, how can you be at such peace when you're encountering such difficult situations and your heart is broken? It's a supernatural peace. You see, the meaning of anxious in this context, it comes from the Greek word merimno or merimno, which means to be worried, troubled with cares, to be distracted by concerns. And it implies a mental preoccupation. Because you see, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about this part of the body that pumps blood through our body. It's talking about the process of thinking, which affects your emotions. Because it all your heart is here, but really it's what you do here that affects your emotions, doesn't it? Depends how you think, depends what you know, it's going to affect how you feel. So it implies mental preoccupation or overwhelming care that pulls a person in different directions, causing distress. So not to live in a state of worry where fear and uncertainty dominate the mind. That's what we're told to do. The phrase, be anxious for nothing, doesn't deny that life has real problems. Every single one of you, and I know this for a fact, either if what I'm going to say is not true, either something weird about you or you're a liar. But every single one of you has gone through a challenging time throughout your life. At least 1 million a day. Every single one of you has encountered stressing, struggling, a bit of anxiety, worry, not sure, circumstances that have been beyond your control. Am I not correct? And yet we're all Christians and we're told not to worry. It's not a sin to go through those, but we can encounter peace even though the worry, the stress, the anxiety, the difficulty. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have nothing but happiness and good times. Amen? Ah, there you go. In this world, you shall have? Amen. You shall have. So Jesus himself said, you're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to go through tribulation. You're going to encounter difficult times. And this is Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the one that says, do not worry about tomorrow. He told us not to worry about anything. And he's talking about financial stuff because that stuff is worrying, isn't it? When you can't pay your rent, when you can't pay your mortgage, when you can't pay your car, when you can't pay your bills, you don't just say, that'll do. You become anxious. You become worried. How are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to eat? How are we going to buy clothes? And Jesus said, don't worry about food or drink or what you shall put on. For God knows what you have need of before you ask him. But, interesting, he says, seek first. Seek, focus, set your mind. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your own, his righteousness. And then he says, and the rest will just follow you. Don't focus on the problems. Focus on the kingdom of God and he will provide for you. You know, I look back at all the times that I've panicked, I've stressed, I've been anxious. I thought, I'm not going to make ends meet. This is it. And, I'm not going to have another meal. And does it look like I missed a couple of meals in my life? Hey. I'm proud of it in a humble Christian way. I haven't missed a single meal, and maybe I should have missed a couple of meals. It would do me good. But all that stress, all that anxiety, all that discouragement, I've come through the other end, and here I am standing. I'm still standing better than I ever been, feeling like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing. You don't know that one. Yeah, Elton John. I'm still standing. Here I am, more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against you has prospered. Why? Because you are standing regardless of what has come against you. And the stuff you've gone through in life has caused a lot of grief, sleepless nights, pain, discouragement. You've gone through it all, but here you are and you look more beautiful than ever. You are precious. You are wonderful. You are beautiful. I can see joy and life in your eyes. I'm seeing the most beautiful people in the world right here. You're awesome. Amen. Because you've been created in his image. You're the apple of his eye. He loves you with an everlasting love. And when he died on the cross, he had you on his mind. That's how special, beautiful, amazing you are to him. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. John and Paul said it really well. He loves you. Yeah. You thought I was talking about the apostles. You've got to keep up with me. I'm going to throw things in there just to make sure you're awake, okay? Because I don't like people falling asleep on me. Now, be anxious for nothing doesn't deny that life has real problems. But he encourages the believer to shift the weight of concern from their own shoulders unto God. And we're told to bear one another's burdens, to cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And supplication here says, my prayer and supplication. This talks about a deep, earnest plea or an urgent request made to God. It conveys a sense of humility, dependency, and intense personal need. Just a prayer, it's a supplication, something deeper than that. It's a specific, heartfelt petition, a personal, sincere cry for help. But then he says, we do this, but look at the focus, with thanksgiving. Don't forget to give thanks in everything. Because when you're going through that dark valley of the shadow of death and you can't see any light, you forget that there's going to be light at the other end. There was light where you came from, and the light is with you through the darkness. You forget to count your blessings. Count your blessings, count them one by one. There you go. Imagine if we did that in conjunction and in harmony. Count your blessings. You see, when we're going through difficult times, it feels like everything is bad. But this encourages us to focus, to set your mind, to seek the things that are true. He continues on later on, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. He's saying, set your mind on those things. Because when you're going through darkness, you forget the light. You feel like my whole life has been horrible. There's never been a good day in my life. And then someone says, tell me about the birth of your first child. Ah, it was the best day of my life. Uh-huh. Tell me about when you fell in love with your beautiful spouse. Ah, I was so good looking back then. I was half the man I am today. I had hair. You know, you start to focus on the things. Tell me about the day that you encountered God's blessing when provision in a miraculous way. Oh, I remember. So we need to focus on that and be thankful. Have an attitude of gratitude. Not for the bad that we're going through, but in spite of, because he is good. And we're going to go through hard times, but guess what? The battle belongs to God. Amen. And we are not defeated. Our attitude has to be one of gratitude. It doesn't, you know what, when I'm going through these things, I don't feel like singing. Like last week, we said, it's an act of the will. I will sing praises to the Lord. I will be thankful, even though I don't feel like it. It's not in my heart. My motivation is far from that, but I will. It has to be an attitude of gratitude, but by the act of the will. You've got to push against what the enemy is trying to rob. See, he came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Isn't that awesome? Not just live life and get by all beaten up. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's why I love the church. Because the church is not an irrelevant, boring, weird group of, well, some of you are, but of people. We're a people that have been called to worship a God, to sing praises to him, because we have been redeemed by accepting what he's done. We have a song to sing. We are more than conquerors. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. You know what that means? You've got greatness in you. You've got God inside you, Jenny. You have got the greatest in you. So you are the greatest. No. Hallelujah. You are all great. Or we can call God a liar. But if he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world, Satan, that means you have greatness in you. And by no effort of your own, you are great. Hallelujah. Amen. You're all kings and priests. You're more than conquerors. You're the apple of his eye. These are all, I could go on and on and on. That's what the word of God says. But we need to believe right. In spite of the pain that we do go through. And this is a hard message for me to preach because it's like, oh, Lord, if I preach this, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. Kid, you know, I think, was it Monday, Wendy? Where are you, Wendy? Wendy, was it Monday, Tuesday? You came to set up, and Wendy comes out. I, opened my office door. I was going through a bit of a challenging situation. She goes, "Have you been singing this week?" And I'm like, what went through my mind was, there's nothing to sing about. And then I remembered, the preacher spoke about that on Sunday. Straight away, Monday I was gone. Monday I was bang, punch in the face. And she reminded me, she had this beautiful smile that made me feel like, oh, now I've got to practice what I preached. But it was a good reminder. I needed that. You had no idea. I needed that. I went back in there. And Lord, I praise you. Didn't feel like it. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I lift your name on high. You know, then you start singing a song. Then all of a sudden, things shift. The atmosphere changes. You know, we are told that in everything to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. The will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We are to give thanks in everything. Not for everything. We don't say, thank you, God, that my dog just died. You know, that's not, there's going to be pain in that. I thought I'll go with a dog. I'm safer. But in spite of this, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for everything you bring us through. And the next verse encourages us where our mindset has to be. He continues on. This is the next verse. Whatever things are true, don't let the falseness of the situation, don't let the liar and deceiver bring you down. Focus on what is true. Not what you feel, but what you know. It's all about the mind. The battle's in here. It's not a fragment of your imagination, but it's in the mind. In the place of the skull, Golgotha is where Jesus defeated the enemy. The place of the skull, because that's where the mind lives. The skull is a resident of the mind. And the mind is inside the skull. And Jesus, on that cross, bang, defeated the enemy who puts evil thoughts in our minds and makes us feel worthless and like life's not worth living and miserable. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, focus on things that are true, that are noble, that are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think, focus, seek these things. And then he says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. First he says, the peace of God will be with you. And now he says, the God of peace will be with you. You see, I could preach on this forever. And that's why I'm timing myself, because I need to stop at some point, because this is so important and so crucial. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, everybody say mind. Interesting, it's all about the mind, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The next verse says, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Yah or Jehovah is everlasting strength, whose mind is stayed on you. Perfect peace. The word perfect peace in the Hebrew is shalom, shalom. In English, the best we can come up with is perfect peace. Because when you double up a word in the Hebrew, it means it's really reinforcing it. It's not just shalom, it's shalom, shalom. Peace upon peace upon peace. And shalom means more than just, peace of heart or peace of mind. It means completeness, wholeness, well-being, health, safety, soundness, prosperity. You will keep him in shalom, shalom, who actively, his active imagination would probably be a better translation, whose mind, whose active imagination, as your imagination runs away on you, choose to direct it towards heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Whose mind is stayed on you. And why? Because he trusts in you. We've got to trust God when it looks like he's let us down. It looks like he's forgotten us. It looks like he hasn't heard our prayers. King David expresses, he said, God, how long? How long? He expresses, how long am I going to go through this? Why? Have you ever felt like that? My goodness. If you haven't, tell me the secret, please. Because I'm sure that we've all been there. How long? When? Haven't you forgotten me? I think, I'm not sure if it's one of the Psalms or Isaiah that talks about, God, if you're asleep, wake up. Get out of your bed, please. What's going on? And that's all right. Jeremiah says, you deceived me, you let me down. And God doesn't sap him, he lets him spew it all out. And then he says, but your word was burning in my heart. At the end of the day, regardless how we feel, I remember feeling mad at God. I remember one time I was in my garage and I looked up. I thought, I'm feeling inside stuff. And I'm looking up like, I love you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. And I finally gave up. I said, okay, you're big, I'm small, I'm a worm, you want to squash me, you win. Hello, I'm the loser. Come on, you know, squash me a little bit more. Has it made you happy now? Now, I'm not suggesting you should ever pray like that. I'm confessing my sins. I was hoping then, because I was going through a difficult time, it was many years ago, that God would squash me down and end my misery. Instead, I felt God saying, there's a little bit more. Come on, burp it out. Burp it out like a baby. Come on, a bit more. Burp. Burped it all out. But Lord, I love your church. I love your people. I love you, and I know you love me. But sometimes you got to burp it out. You got to... And God can take that. God is a little bit bigger than what we think. Do you think so? He's a big God. But it all goes back to our mind. If you then have been raised with Christ, and that doesn't mean if, that talks about since you have been raised with Christ. So in other words, your new identity is not in your failure, it's not in your job, it's not in your... Any situation you've gone through, your new identity is in the risen Christ. The same power that rose him from the dead lives in you, amen? I don't say that lightly. We need to believe that. We might not feel it, but the same power that rose Christ from the dead lives in us. And it says, since you have been raised with Christ and your identity is with a resurrected Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on circumstances around you, not on things of the earth. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your position is in Christ. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. No, I'm not, Sandra. I'm sitting here in this church. In the flesh you are, but in eternity, God sees the end from the beginning. He's outside of time, space, and matter, and he sees who you are through eternity, and you are in Christ. So when God the Father looks at you, he has to, if you're in Christ, guess what he sees? He sees Jesus. That's why it's called faith. We need to believe. And it's all about focusing your mind on things above. Proverbs 4:23, I love this. This is from the New Century Version. Probably the best example of what this means. Be careful what you think. I know other versions say, yeah, it talks about the heart and so forth, but this is what it literally means. Because your thoughts run your life. Guard your heart with all the diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life, is what other versions say. But this is what it's talking about. Your heart is talking about the thought process. Be careful what you think. Don't give in to circumstances. Don't allow Satan, who came to steal, kill, and destroy, lie to you. Focus on what is true, what is noble, what is pure, what is holy. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I'm not sure if this is helping any of you, and I don't share this because my life is going great. There are challenges that I'm faced with every day, and I'm sharing this because I feel like God's speaking to me and I need to practice it myself. And why should I go through the torture of the pain? I'll chuck it onto you and you suffer a bit too. No, I'm sure that you could do with a little bit of encouragement through worries. I know some of you think, I've never worried in my life. Well, that's good. That's good. Is that true for anyone? But God doesn't say, don't worry, because he just wants us to stop worrying. It's because he wants you to live your best life now. He wants you to reflect that peace that he has that surpasses all understanding. He wants you to be real. Doesn't mean you don't cry, you don't weep, you don't shed a tear. But it means you can have peace right in the midst of whatever we're going through. And that's what we want. It doesn't promise that do this and the problem will go away. It's like, do this and through the problem, you're going to be more than a conqueror. You're going to get through to the other side. You're going to go and you're going to see light coming in. Hopefully it won't be a train. It won't be a train. And I believe this is God's word for us today. I'll call the band to come up. Now, it's up to you to receive it and believe it, or to say, no, this is not good. I'm going to choose my life to be miserable, to be depressed, to be discouraged, and to suffer and not shine the light. You can choose that, but good luck. I don't want to be around you if you make that choice. Nobody does. We want to be around people that encourage and inspire us. And this is how you become that person. Amen? Praise God. Was that a good word, church? Yeah. Amen. I thought it was a good word myself. Just last week, we...